Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Hey, it's Fran from Chicks in the Office. It's peak summer. One plan is turning into five, but trust, I'll be wearing Abercrombie to all of them. Catch me in their Sloan tailored pan at work and then the happy hour right after. The Dylan dress for dinner plans when you want something easy but still put together. And of course, their denim. Because Abercrombie denim just works, no matter the plan. Keep up with the pace of summer without overthinking it. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
Is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again! Say what again! I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
You turn on!
Rhodes? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 84. Sunday night, September. Is this the last September Sunday episode? Has to be, right?
Oh,
September 30th. September 30th is definitely a day. It is a day in September.
Okay. Podcasting in September.
All right. So what's going on? Anything new?
My team lost again.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mine too. Mine did as well. We all can't be Browns fans now, can we?
Actually, for once, like for the first time as in this podcast history, I can actually say the opposite. So that's cool. But they didn't play today, so I really there's nothing for me to say at this point. This is old fucking news, so I'm not going to go on. But continue on your endeavors here.
Oh, I went to the Nike outlet store this weekend, and I bought some stuff. That was my big weekend move. Bought some shoes, bought a pair of Tech Fleece shorts. I got the big zipper running down in case I need to stuff an iPad into my shorts. So I'm ready to go. love to buy shorts in September.
I just can't wait until I'm older and can be doing that instead of going to a bar with a $10 cover that is just old white guys playing music, but everyone wants to go there for some reason, which is basically New York City life in a nutshell.
There's only one thing to do when that happens. You just don't go out.
I should have stayed and watched movies instead. That should have been my go-to. And I ended up not getting home until really late, and I was going to go see Life Itself this morning, but I was too hungover and didn't want to go.
The parallels between not going out. Well, I guess this may not be the case for everybody, but I think for a lot of people, I'm sorry, Trill, this is going to come off terrible, but a lot of people around our age, Ken Jack, the ability to not go out and not log off online, very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar things because, I mean, neither should be done, but you stay on both. So
I will never log off. I will never, ever log off. Take promise on that.
You should try logging off. It's quite relaxing.
I imagine you're just out there buying shorts before the weather gets cold. So, you know, that is a very relaxing sounding life. Though that is a smart move.
It was a good weekend in Hoboken. I had time to really sit back and enjoy everything.
Oh, no, bleep that.
Wouldn't want to put everyone else in more of a pretzel we already have.
Yeah, I went across the river or whatever it is and got a New York slice. It was fantastic.
Went to Buca di Beppo.
I got the kitchen table.
Yeah, finally. Can't believe you didn't invite us.
Thank God.
Man. Okay, what else here? Let's see. Schedule update. Update on what we will be doing in the coming weeks. Next week, we said we would review Black Klansman. Unfortunately, we will not be reviewing Black Klansman. Bad attempt at a joke. We are going to fucking review it. People didn't believe us. They thought this was a bit. We are going to review it this week. Don't worry. We're going to review it. We're also going to review A Simple Favor. How about that?
Hell yeah.
Just call him Trill Movies Ballins because he's seeing all these movies now. And he's going to be reviewing those two with us as well as our special guest, PFD. PFD wants to come on and talk movies this week. So It'll be the four LCB guys just talking movies, reviewing Black Klansman and A Simple Favor. And then next week, I think we're going to strike off Night School and Smallfoot and do a recap of movies that we haven't really gotten a chance to talk about this year. If we go see Night School and Smallfoot, we can talk about them real quick. But I think we're going to make that a week where we just look back at things we've seen so far this year we've even talked about, maybe do a quick top five for the year so far. And then the week after that comes this stretch of October movies that we have been hyping up for a long time. Venom and A Star Is Born with Mr. Sunday Movies. Then the big one, First Man and Bad Times at the El Royale. And then Halloween to round out that three-week stretch in October, which is a lot of fun.
What if First Man ends up being bad?
That would suck.
We just go silent for two episodes. Everybody's just refreshing their podcasts on Sunday night. They're like, yeah. Jeff, released the pod. And
no answer.
Just doesn't do it for a week.
Before we continue on joking about our schedule, Sisters Brothers, we do want to see that, but that is not actually wide release. Somebody on our Reddit actually mentioned that they could feel the pain with Trill of not seeing movies in certain cities across the country. So we'll try to see that one. We'll review that one when we're able to. But for now, the schedule is Black Klansman and A Simple Favor. And then the week after, we're going to do a bit of a recap. And then move on to November. Can You Ever Forgive Me? Maybe Melissa McCarthy is going to have our favorite movie of the year. It's very possible. Movie's getting hype. And then
I don't think it's going to be favorite. Not going to be favorite, maybe best, but 0% chance of favorite.
Are you, if it becomes your favorite movie, will you retire from, will you log off for 1 week?
Hari Kari on the spot if it ends up being my favorite movie.
Did you guys hear about the thriller, the dark comedy thriller that is, Ken Jack, you may have heard of this. It's a dark comedy thriller that is a cooking thriller. It is based around vanilla. Did you hear about this one?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, it's called A Simple Flavor, folks. A Simple Flavor.
I told you I heard it, and yet you told me the line anyway. But thank you for reiterating. Appreciate that. You just got to carry over from last episode.
That's me powering down.
Just endless bad
jokes. Shut me off for the rest of the episode.
Wow. All right. Anything else before we want to get into this thing? We got some real twisted stuff to talk about.
Some damaged new iPhone, Jeff. New iPhone. This relates to movies because you can watch movies on this iPhone. Let's talk about it. How do you like the XS Max?
I just actually took out my old iPhone, the big one. What was it called again? I already forget. What was the old big one called?
A Plus.
Yeah. And the new one, I'm used to the big screen already. It's just the screen is entirely too tall for. I mean, I'm not Shaq, so I can't go from the bottom to the top with holding one hand. But otherwise, I don't know. Cool phone. I don't like Apple's standard case is basically a guarantee you're going to break your phone at some point. So I'm excited to get my more protective case.
I've had great luck with the Apple leather case. Great luck with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tim Cook, sponsor the pod, right?
Well, can you imagine Tim Cook listening to this pod?
I mean, I feel like out of all CEOs, probably one of the more likely ones, since it is his product.
Elon's definitely a listener. He has to be.
I think we put his name in the title of one of our episodes, and he seems like a guy who does Google himself. So I think that might be. I'm going to put Tim Cook's name in this episode, actually. Tim Cook's name is going in the episode title. I'm going to make it really clickbaity, too, so he has no idea.
Do they have social? You were on social media at large corporations in the past. They have teams that crawl through social media, right? Like all sorts of it, and find out what people are saying. We know that for sure. But do they have software that can like listen to podcasts like robotically and determine whether or not people are talking about the company or the leader? You think?
I mean, well, I do know that James Corden probably doesn't. Have software like that because he would probably have either beaten the shit out of all of us or killed all of us. So, though, I don't know, Ken Jack, it's up. This is typically your call. Could you have beat up James Corden or would he kick your ass?
He's a small fat man. I think I could beat him. Just run circles around him. Yeah, dude, he's a Hollywood talk show host.
He is. He's not tall.
Probably 5'2".
He's our height. He's our height. Same height as us.
I think I would just run around like a boxer, like Mayweather, in circles around him and just tire him out a bit and just go in.
Between our regular slander and he put out, did you guys see the video he did for Late Night where he did like a hospital skit, but every single line of dialogue was a Drake line, like a Drake lyric? I quote tweeted it. I literally just quote tweeted it with like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. And it got like 5,000 likes. That's all I said was, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. So he's definitely got a fucking murk out for me right now.
The most James Corden thing was him doing a parody of the Kanye and Little Pump video. It has some of the most like just nasty lyrics in the world, and he changed it to like, you're gonna love my show.
It's a kid's You'll bop. Love it. It's basically kid's bop. He's gonna pull up on us with the burner, but it's gonna be like a fucking musket or something. So he's only gonna be able to kill one of three of us.
We are very different on pod and on social with how we talk about James Corden, though. I will say that. We treat him like the fucking king. I mean, actually, if you just look up pictures of James Corden on our Twitter, most of the captions have the word king in them. But on the pod, it's a different story. It's just two worlds. It's two completely different worlds on pod and off pod with how we treat Mr. Corden. Okay, I think that's that on the before we get into news bits we usually do. You know what? I just told Trill this before he got on. If you did get one of the new iPhones, the shit they give you, the charging cable and the brick, those are not fast charging enabled. You need a 30-watt charger and a USB-C to lightning cable. A little pro tip for everyone out there. Because why would they ever package that with the $1,000 product you just bought? Why would they ever give you everything you need? The Joker. This is actually a pretty big week for this. And I think the three of us had a pretty positive reaction. Most of the reaction I saw was pretty positive until Kenjack. I think you mentioned it was split. Because we tweeted out the pictures and the teaser of the Joker face paint reveal for Joaquin Phoenix pretty quickly. We were some of the first people on it. Humble brag, whatever. We're big time movie.
Okay, boys. Let's note, you were playing 2K. I was the one who hit that fucking tweet on this while you were playing video games, mister. No, I
was
one piece of news that I've ever hit on.
When that came out?
Yeah, you're doing the whatever thing with Kaminsky. And like, I think that's the first piece of, or maybe like the second piece of news I've ever done from the Twitter instead of Instagram. And it's literally just Joaquin one. That's it.
Okay, fair. Which, by the way, we spent in the office the other day. Actually, I didn't, but I won't name the name because I don't want to embarrass anyone. But somebody spent in the office 2 hours creating people in the office to make a custom team, and it didn't work. It didn't fucking work.
It didn't work.
They sat there on camera for 2 hours creating everyone in the office for the most part, and then they went to go build the team they weren't allowed to. So
that's so funny.
That was a blast. Okay, but the Joker face paint, it's definitely the most different looking Joker. It's, if you haven't seen it, you need to just kind of look it up. It's hard to it looks more like a classic clown. He doesn't have any he does have green hair. He has like the red like mouth makeup, and he has a makeup on his nose. Which, do any of the Jokers have makeup on their nose?
I think the Adam West one does. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. And then there's blue on his eyes, and then he has like really crappy fake red painted
red eyebrows,
which
that's
are
my favorite part.
Yeah,
that's my favorite part.
The eyebrows that are like halfway between the top of his head and his actual eyebrows.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I thought that it was different while also retaining some of the looks I liked from the Heath Ledger Joker. Sorry, I'm trying to talk faster because I know I talk really slow sometimes and do the pauses. You do the lip makeup reminds me of the Heath Ledger Joker, which is the coolest part in my mind, and then everything else is a little bit different. But I think he'll change his look in the movie. I feel like we're seeing a proto Joker. We're seeing the birth of Joker here. And by the end of the movie, he might have a different look too.
I agree with you in that. I think the ending look is going to look a little bit different. As far as the reaction goes, the one thing I did notice in the split is that I think most people with a rational brain think that it's going to be cool because number one, it's Joaquin Phoenix, who's like an all-time actor. And he already, even without makeup or anything, would play a great Joker, right? And the people who are viewing it negatively are dumb idiots who look at it and say, "Well, it's not going to hold a candle to Keith. Not going to hold a candle to Heath." And like, they don't seem to remember at all when Heath Ledger got cast as the Joker and everyone flipped the fuck out and said like, oh, it's not going to hold a candle to Jack Nicholson's. It's not even close, dude. Like, you're just, it's just time is a flat circle all over again. So like, before I think they log on and start commenting, I think they need to go back and take a little history lesson from what happened when Heath was cast and, you know, give it some time, see what else comes out. And I still think this material was great. That the teaser thing that Todd Phillips dropped, I thought was awesome with the projector screen.
That was cool.
Yeah.
I said, didn't Todd Phillips get kind of mad at somebody online today, Ken Jack, about judging the photos?
Yesterday he mentioned that somebody had commented on one of his Instagrams saying like, oh, maybe you should like wrap all this up because so many set photos are getting out and everything. And he said like the issue is like we're shooting a lot of this in New York City, like there's paparazzi everywhere. They're releasing all these photos that are bad, and I'd rather just have my own stuff out there and get ahead of it. It's almost like the thing like we always talk about, especially you always mentioned, Jeff, like how they'll release photographs of like people in the suit like they did with Captain Marvel, and like the production companies won't get ahead of it and release their own shit, which will make it look good. And I think that's kind of what we have going on here.
He's doing, yeah, he's doing literally exactly what we said.
Yeah,
all these other comp that like, he, I mean, he spelled that out perfectly, which it's always nice when what I think could be really dumb opinions from us get confirmed as actually potentially being smart, because like it seems simple, but maybe we're just thinking about it the wrong way. But I clearly think that Todd Phillips thinking is like the line of thinking you need. Like, you got to get out ahead of it, because otherwise it's going to get leaked one way or the other. And there's a movie where you can very clearly link this up to and have a similar situation. And it is also related to the Joker, Suicide Squad. The first real things we saw from Suicide Squad, weren't they like pictures of Jared Leto at a restaurant without the makeup on and just green hair?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the first thing you really saw from that. And that started the whole thing. And then that picture was released where he had tattoos he didn't have in the movie. He didn't have some of them. And I mean, that one started off negatively because of that. And like, he got out ahead of this. I think the video was really cool of him kind of like walking. I liked his walk. That was pretty neat on the subway platform. And just, you know, it looked different. And actually the set photos look different than the video he released too, because you see more green hair. I think you can kind of see he has a bit more scars, maybe like the way his, like the smile lines look. So, you know what? It's good content. It's a year ahead. He got out ahead of it. I give him a lot of credit because look, I don't care if they didn't release anything. They didn't release anything. We're excited for this Dick Cheney movie, which was called Backseat, which is not called Backseat anymore. Did we talk about this? It's called something else now.
No, I didn't know that.
It's called Vice, but that might that still may not even be the title. So anyway, like, we still want to see that movie. We haven't seen shit. So like, it doesn't matter if we see stuff or not, but at least like, you know, if you're going to do it, be smart about it. So again, credit to Todd Phillips, because I think they've done it the right way. Just my two cents.
I feel like a lot of people who wouldn't have cared about the Joker before Heath Ledger knocked it out of the park have opinions on the Joker and the way the Joker should be portrayed as well.
Well, you know what the woke opinion is on the Heath Ledger Joker, right?
No.
It's that, would the Joker have been as good, or would have the Dark Knight been as praised, or would Heath Ledger have won an Oscar had he not died? Like, I think that's one of the, like, that's such like a woke, that's along the lines of, The Office is the smartest, greatest comedy of all time. It's like, you know what? Could all be true, but like, why are you trying to be so fucking woke about something that's so simple? Like, Office, funny show. Heath Ledger, Joker, great performance. Just fucking leave it as what it is. Like, why are we trying to dip back into the past and rewrite and like reimagine how we view things? Like, it's just one of those things that like with as time goes on, people want to nitpick and find new things to complain about something that was just great at the time. Just let it be.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can say his death probably had a lot to do with the hype for the movie. And I don't mean that in like a good way. Like, obviously it was a tragedy. But I think it got a lot of people interested in the role that maybe wouldn't have otherwise been interested. But as for the quality of the movie and the portrayal itself, it still stands up. You can still go on YouTube and watch scenes for the Joker and you're like, this is awesome. Like, it was awesome. And it's one of the reasons I think that the third one wasn't as good, because that was the high point. You didn't have anything as good as that.
I don't even think that. I think people think too deeply into that. Like, the Academy obviously doesn't really give a shit about sentiment in that way, especially towards people like the common men or common women, everyone. They really don't give a fuck. Like, they gave the artist Best Picture in 2011 after this. So if you even want to try to think that they remotely give a shit about you or common people, they don't. So I think that's a really just It's a non-argument, in my opinion.
I mean, again, it's one of those dumb things to look back on. It's a great joke, a great performance. I mean, yeah, obviously, and you're right, Joe. Death before a movie does, I mean, it sounds bad, but it hypes the movie up. Look at Fast and the Furious 7 when Paul Walker died. I mean, yes, that movie was going to make a ton of money anyway, but there was obviously a different sentiment and different anticipation with the movie because people knew it was the last movie with Paul Walker. So, but I don't think the fact that that's what it was is what made Heath Ledger's Joker so great. So great. And I hope Joaquin Phoenix is great too. It looks cool. Looks badass. Would be a real shame if we had other Joker news later on in this episode. But we're going to break it up now. We're not going to go to it right away. There's a new first look at Chucky, the reboot of Child's Play, which is one of my least favorite horror franchises ever made. I just hate Chucky. And there's a picture, and it kind of looks like the old Chucky, but not exactly. It looks a little more, I don't know, it just looks like a more like a newer toy, which I guess makes sense, right?
It looks
like,
it looks smooth.
It looks like a better made toy. I don't know. Apparently people don't like it. Like actually I read an article. It's like the original creator. Let me pull this up first before I don't want to misinterpret it. But what do you think? And apparently Aubrey Plaza is going to be in this movie too.
This is crazy. They've done such a weird reversal of the Chucky franchise because the last couple Chucky movies have been just like maybe not straight to DVD, but as close to straight to DVD as you can. Well, maybe also being in, yeah, and while also being in the theater, they were comedies. Maybe this will still somewhat be a comedy, but the look of this Chucky looks like they're trying to take it very seriously because this looks like I'm gonna come out and say it. This looks like an anime Chucky. It does. He's got the very large anime eyes that are blue. So I don't know. You know, maybe this will be a very, very anime like Chucky. Maybe Chucky will power up for 45 minutes of the movie and then stab somebody.
I think that I just found my skit for this week. It's going to be a Cruel Angel's thesis about Chucky, rewritten for Chucky and Bride of Chucky. Fucking Evangelion, baby.
We talked about this a few weeks ago, which is a fun thing that we need to do more of one day. It's just franchises with a lot of movies. There was Child's Play, 1988. Child's Play 2, 1990. Child's Play 3, 1991. Bride of Chucky, 1998. Seed of Chucky, 2004. Curse of Chucky, 2013. And Cult of Chucky, October 2017.
When do you think the creator of Chucky was like, let's call this movie Chucky's spunk. No, we can't do that.
Chucky's cum.
The seed of Chucky is as close as we can get to being gross without being too overly gross.
Yeah, it's like right in between just like a scientific sperm and just straight up saying jizz. Like they're just right in between that.
So Child's Play, we'll use Rotten Tomatoes for this, had a 67% audience score. Child's Play 2 had 40%. Child's Play 3, 23%. Bride of Chucky, 46%. And then Seed of Chucky, 32%. But the last two of them, which were, I believe, straight to DVD, Curse of Chucky and Cult of Chucky. Curse of Chucky has an 83%. Cult of Chucky has an 83% as well. Both have 83%. But I'm looking how many reviews there are. only 18 reviews.
Fucking buddy pounds.
They both have 18 reviews. Yeah. But I mean, they're not the worst reviews. Okay, but they're all done by the same guy, Don Mancini.
That's fucking made up.
He was the screenwriter and he did the story of the first four, but he was not the lone screenwriter on the original. It was him, John Lafia, and then Tom Holland.
Dean Mancini is like the distant half. Dean Mancini is like the half brother of Dean Blandino, and that's all he does is write Chucky movies.
So Don Mancini tweeted. Somebody asked him what they thought, or actually, no, nobody asked him. I bet nobody did ask him what they thought. He goes unprovoked on Twitter. This is all I have to say on that subject, and it's a picture of Mariah Carey holding up a paddle that says "I don't know her." So I assume, or the internet assumes, that's him hating on the new Chucky. So Don Mancini, the creator of Chucky, who has nothing to do with this new movie, apparently doesn't like it.
He doesn't like that smooth Chucky. He doesn't like it. He wants him to be jagged.
It's like Chucky is supposed to be a rugged, doll that murders people, not a smooth boy.
It does look so smooth. His eyes look way bigger.
I think they're going for that creepy porcelain doll look almost. That you know what I'm saying? It's like, because nothing's creepier than a porcelain doll. A porcelain doll is way creepier than like a plastic Chucky like doll. But then that begs the question of, you know, is he going to be a different type of doll? Because Chucky was like a Cabbage Patch Kid. That was kind of like the whole thing for him. Like,
Watch them try to like adapt it for like modern day kids. And it's just Chucky's like, where are we dropping, boys? And like, it just adapted into like video games since no one plays with dolls anymore.
Chucky's just a Beyblade that just spins through the air and kills people.
Beyblade, perfect. That's a very modern reference.
This is actually apparently a TV series. I didn't fucking know that.
It's a Chucky TV show.
It's on Netflix.
What a fucking waste of time this was. I didn't know. Wait.
Oh.
Wait, what?
Is this a spinoff of Chuck?
Wait a second. I'm really confused about this. This is a TV show? This is not a movie?
Don't tell me we just talked about a TV show on this podcast where we
stick to
movies all the time.
We need to wash our mouth out with soap.
No, it says MGM's Child's Play remake. I don't know. I thought this was going to be a movie.
We'll see, I guess.
I think there is a TV series coming out as well. I think there's actually going to be two things. Thank God.
Oh, well. How come
now we're going to say both?
How come they make a million Chucky's, but Coach can't be rebooted?
This guy right here is obsessed with Coach. Let me tell you.
Coach, saying everything of the 90s is being rebooted. Murphy Brown's coming back to CBS.
Oh, God. Those commercials. I keep seeing them everywhere.
Just maybe reboot Coach. You could take Coach. Imagine Coach. I forget his name. Let's call him Coach. Placed into like modern either collegiate or NFL football where he has to deal with the paying players or CTE.
Or is like his kids kneeling. I think Coach is an anti-kneeler, if I had to take a wild guess.
Oh, Coach.
Just Craig, extremely Craig T. Nelson voice. It's about the country.
I figured it out, by the way. Our good boy, Don Mancini, is going to be making a TV show and separate feature films of Chucky. This is a separate entity, so there's going to be more Chucky, just other versions of Chucky.
Into the Chucky's plate.
This Child's Play remake is just a remake of the original, yeah. Into the Chuckyverse. Imagine that. Just 9 dolls running around. I really don't like these fucking movies.
Cheryl's got 9 dolls in his apartment, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're pretty real.
Moving on. Kingsman 3. This is, okay, first of all, Kingsman 3, there's already been a trailer. If you're a diehard listener to this podcast or an audience member, you know that there is a Kingsman 3 and 4 and 5 that were announced a long time ago. I'm not going to direct you to what episode because you got to be a diehard to know. However, there's apparently a different Kingsman 3 that will be coming to the big screen with Matthew Vaughn returning to direct. I don't know how I feel about this one. Actually, I do. I'm not excited for this. Almost little to no interest in this. But apparently it's going
to
happen.
The big question here is Channing Tatum going to return to this? Because the end of Kingsman 2, they set it up for Kingsman 3 where it gets out of the London-looking taxi, looking all dapper, and boom. That was your teaser for Kingsman 3. So if he doesn't return for whatever reason, you know, his reason could be the fact that it's like, I don't want to be in Kingsman 3, then they let us on with the end of that movie, and we don't ever get resolution to what he was doing at Kingsman Taylor's.
I hope they paid him well, because like I don't know if they promised him good screen time or anything, because he got maybe what? How much do you think aggregate screen time do you think he got in that movie? Like 10 minutes max?
It wasn't a whole lot.
Like the intro, the scene where like he meets them and shoots at them, and then like the scene where he dies or whatever, gets knocked out. And then the scene where he, like, at the end. And that's it. That's all he got. That's really... What was his name? Whiskey? No. Tequila? No, that was... I think Tequila was Pablo Pascal's character.
Yeah.
No, because they're all alcohol late in the
evening. Tennessee is the guy in is Zombieland.
Jeff Bridges was Whiskey, I think. Or was he Bourbon? This is such a stupid fucking thing. God damn. Even discussing this is making me mad about how disappointing this was compared to the first.
What's Eggsy's official Kingsman name?
He was Tequila.
No, Eggsy, he was Lancelot, Galahad. Right? Galahad. Yeah.
Yeah, but those are cool because it's kind of like related to King Arthur lore, but naming them all after a liquor was just dumb.
There's no, they just had no knowledge of American history or American folklore that would be synonymous with the Knights of the Round Table. And they're just like,
it's not like any of them are either American. None of those liquor types are even like whiskey's fucking Scottish or like tequila is like Hispanic. And like none of it is inherently American. They could have even made a gun brands or something like, oh, I'm Smith and this is Wesson. We're twins that shoot people. That might have been cool. That's inherently sort of American and stupid. But why fucking alcohol? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, this is Airsoft. He's a new recruit. he doesn't do much, but he looks kind of cool.
It's kind of interesting. Yeah, this is Red Ryder. Again, also not very dangerous, but this is Symbian.
Symbian?
Yes, Symbian. They're all sex toy named.
It's coming out next year.
This is Rabbit.
This movie's coming out next year, and it's filling the slot of Bond 25. Where Bond 25 right. would have been released. So quite the big difference between what would have been released, which, by the way, I almost forgot to mention this. Bond 25 has a director now. That's in that weird limbo where we...
The end of Kingsman 1 filled a slot.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good one.
That was one of the weirdest scenes in a while, by the way. Well, that was just very weird.
There was a worse one of those in Kingsman 2, if you remember.
Yes.
That was way worse.
Imagine just graduating from Full Sail University or whatever it is. They do like 3D modeling or whatever and be like, you got a project. It's a big budget. It's like, what am I doing? It's like, well, you're going to have to animate something. Oh, great. What am I going to be animating?
Can you imagine the sheer disappointment and shock when like you learn that's your project? Like, damn, really wanted Emoji Movie. But instead of making a like, I'm just thinking about it. I don't want to speak it into existence any more than I already have. Gross.
They only made that scene because they got funding from community college health classes.
So the guy doing Bond 25 is Cary Fukunaga, who did Beasts of No Nation, which was a Netflix movie that got a lot of hype and I believe an Oscar nomination. He's most notably known for doing the first season of True Detective, which is a, by all accounts, a fucking fantastic bit of television and was leagues better than its follow-up, True Detective Season 2, which True Detective Season 2 will probably more so ever be known for its memes than it will be for being a good TV show. And I believe, if I have the name right, I think it was him. He initially was supposed to do It, and I think he left It because of creative differences, and then he only got screenwriter credit for It. But how about this? How about after all of that? Yeah, he left in 2015. There was some creative differences, and apparently his version was going to be super fucked up and not as mainstream.
Really?
It would not have been as mainstream as this one. It was supposed to be very messed up, at least from what I remember. However, tacked onto this, there's rumors that Henry Cavill's being eyed for James Bond, and some people even said that he is no longer as Superman because of potentially playing the next James Bond. Not sure. We'll see. Regardless, how about them going with a director who is a little less of a massive name like had been, you know, rumored? There were a lot of names that people threw around that were much bigger names than him, even though he is very successful at his craft.
I like it, just because I like True Detective Season 1, and that's what I'm familiar with him from, and had one of the best tracking shots I can think of, and be cool to get that style of cinematography in the Bond world, spice it up a little bit. So I'm excited by it. I think this is neat. Now, did you say this was Bond 25?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So when you said Cavill, that would be the one after this. So this is Daniel Craig's last Bond. So hopefully he goes out with the bang.
I'm kind of split on this because I did love True Detective Season 1 and think it's some of the best television ever made. But at the same time, I sort of think that the dark side of Bond has already been discovered. And I would maybe like to go more to like a have more levity to it. So I'm split, I would say. So like in the grand experience of Bond, the last three or four, I guess now, have just been a little bit dour. And I think throwing in somebody who directed one of the most dour series of all time, maybe not what I'm looking for right now, but that's why I'm not in charge of things. And I'm a dumb idiot that's doing a podcast instead of making executive decisions at that level. So I guess we'll see. Cavill as Bond I don't know which type of Bond he could be in because he doesn't necessarily have that level of charisma to play like a sexpot Bond, if that makes sense. And I don't even know if he would have the right level of like gruffness to play a Daniel Craig style Bond. So I'd be interested to see how they compensated that.
Yeah. I mean, the whole Bond news is rather wild because the Bond news for a long time, there was nothing ever definitive. And now we kind of get the first definitive thing. And I'm wondering, once they nail a new date down, like, well, you know, will all their shoes begin to drop? And then we finally can stop talking about rumors and what's actually going to happen. So that's Bond news / Kingsman news, Kingsman 3. We'll see. Maybe they'll make it more like the first one, which was enjoyable, to say the least. Well, the second one, we did not like the second movie. We nitpicked the hell out of that movie. Next up. All right. Big bit of news from last week about what this is my opinion. You guys can either dispute or share this opinion, but news for what I think will be one of the biggest letdowns of any movie in the last 20 years. Space Jam 2 news. They have their director and they have their executive producer, which was, I don't know if it was known. I don't think we'd ever talked about it, but it is Ryan Coogler. Ryan Coogler will be the executive producer on it. And the director will not be what was initially supposed to be Justin Lin. It's going to be Terrence Nance, who has not done any big time movies. He's a small director. You really won't know anything he's done. He hasn't done any big time movies. This is his first big time production, which is cool. It's cool LeBron's doing that. LeBron was on Hollywood Reporter this week, I think, talking about like how everyone's trying to work with LeBron. He is like going to become the biggest producer in Hollywood, like one of the biggest producers in Hollywood. He's been working on so many different things, but you also have Ryan Coogler as well. LeBron will star in it. Space Jam 2, I think this movie could end up being one of the biggest letdowns in recent memory, unless people are completely out on it to begin with, which I do feel like some people are. Like, there's just no way this lives up to anything, right? Like, it just, I don't see it happening.
And the only reason to see this movie is just to talk about it with everyone else, I feel like. It's what everybody's going to be talking about leading up to it and after the movie's released. It's going to make a lot of money, but like you're saying, Space Jam 1, people like Space Jam 1, but it's hard to get someone to explain why they like Space Jam 1 without them saying, like, as a kid, this movie was great or something like that. Well, the problem is we're no longer kids anymore. This would be hard to go into this movie and watch it with the same wide-eyed wonder as we did when we first saw Michael Jordan's arm extending halfway across a court and said, this is cool. It's just not, I don't feel like that's going to happen this time. Now, maybe a new generation of kids, younger folks, they get, this is their entry point into the universe where the best basketball player in the world plays with the Looney Tunes. And that's fine too.
Yeah, I agree with you in that. The Space Jam definitely has that qualifier of like, yeah, but like when we were kids, but and stuff like that. I do also think, though, that LeBron does strive for excellence as much as that is corny as hell. Most of the stuff he's involved in, usually it has a higher quality, I would say. Like Trainwreck was obviously like it's good. And his performance in it, I thought was very, it was awesome. Survivor's Remorse, I've heard like different things, but for, I think the overall in general consensus is that it was a good show. And Smallfoot, I haven't heard anything about yet, but I'm sure because he's involved, will also be great. I think they just had the premiere for that a few days ago or something like that. No. I think it's going to be good. Not like fucking bursting down paradigms or anything like that good, but I think it'll be enjoyable at the very least. And I'm curious to see who they cast as the NBA stars for this, because I feel like most NBA stars just don't really want to be involved with LeBron at that sort of juncture.
Yeah, I mean,
you think?
I think people would want to.
I'm thinking like Russell Westbrook. You think Russell Westbrook's going to want to be in this movie?
But the younger Kevin Durant stars like Karl Anthony Towns.
All the corny young guys would.
No, I could see the older guys doing it. You just look at how many people do that barbershop show with him or whatever it is. Like he does, like he gets painted by some people just because they're like who LeBron is. And there's obviously LeBron is a very polarizing NBA player, but a lot of close friends who I could see wanting to be in. I mean, LeBron, Kevin Durant was in that fucking Thunderstruck movie, which was just one of the worst things ever. So I'm not saying Kevin Durant will be in it, but I could see like one or two pretty big names doing it. I mean, You got to think Carmelo is fucking begging to be in it at this point.
It would actually be really funny if he couldn't get anybody to do it because they didn't want to work for him, and he can only get like his old Cavs teammates to do it. So it's like Zydrunas Ilgauskas and like Jamario Moon are like two of the big stars on like his Toon Squad or whatever.
It's also got to be super easy money as well.
Yeah,
I can't imagine filming this movie is going to be a Daniel Day-Lewis excruciating on set atmosphere. It's going to be, you know, show up and talk to some guy who is like Andy Serkis's stunt double three times removed. And he's going to be in a completely green suit. And then they're just going to put Elmer Fudd over it. And then the direct deposit's going to hit and they're going to be like, wow, I'm really glad I did Space Jam 2. Exactly. But I think you're right. I don't want to be too negative. Like, I got to separate. It's going to be an enjoyable movie, but also at the same time, like, I think people are starting to realize that Space Jam really isn't that good. It's just not a good movie. It's a good pop culture event, but as a movie, it's like the acting's terrible for Michael Jordan. I don't particularly love the Looney Tunes. The best part of the movie is like Wayne Knight and those characters. So we'll see.
Very good commentary we did with Tyler and Coley of Mixtape on this movie. And Coley was like, he's like, what do you mean? He goes, what do you mean this is not a good movie? But he said the best point. It's just an extended Looney Tunes episode. It's an incredibly short movie. It's a quick movie. The original Space Jam. I just know how the sentiment's going to be. We're going to see it. We're going to have fun with it. But I just know there's going to be so much bitching and moaning about this movie. Because people are you just know because it's LeBron. I mean, the LeBron arguments, whether it's LeBron Kobe or LeBron Jordan, which, by the way, some like Kobe accounts are like, retweet if you'd rather see Kobe Bryant in Space Jam 2. Like, oh, fuck. My God. Fuck off. It's just going to be. And you know, there's no way Michael Jordan cameos in this movie. Those two fucking could not be less opposite, LeBron and Michael.
Academy Award winning Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, excuse me.
Do you think there's a chance, like, let's say Elon Musk is still, I don't want to say still relevant, but like, let's just say he doesn't get any more PR snafus and is still popular when this movie is released. Is he going to be in Space Jam? It's like a little joke of like, him just like flying to space.
I don't know.
I think it fits. Going to the dark side of the moon or whatever. No, I'm saying I do think it fits. SpaceX would be the perfect sponsor.
If they just show him at the game and it's just like a shot of him at the game, it's like, how did Elon Musk get there? And you're like, oh, I get the joke.
Like his cameo in Iron Man is perfect.
The cameo star potential in this is big because LeBron does have a ton of big time Hollywood friends and like famous celebrity friends. So you could see some wild people. I believe he's good friends with James Corden, by the way, and I'm not just making that up.
Of course.
There was an Onion article, a very funny Onion article about Space Jam 2 and Kevin Hart. Let me pull it up so I can read the headline because I actually thought it was legitimately real. It says, Kevin Hart just going to assume he's in Space Jam 2 unless he's told otherwise. So perfect.
Yeah, oh, here's just going to be his role in Space Jam. It's going to be him being like, oh, I thought Space Jam goes on your toast when you're in space.
he does fit. No, Josh Gad is much more of the Wayne Knight character from Space Jam. But James Corden and Josh Gad are for sure the number one and number two choice to play the Wayne Knight character in Space Jam 2.
Just put fucking Ansel Elgort and whatever his name is in this too. Just like put everybody who just is just hateable in this movie. Please. Just do it. God. Put fucking Bill Maher in this movie.
Who else will be in this movie though? Like think about just like run of the mill, like cliche Hollywood actors. Like those are the people that are going to be in this movie.
Jack Nicholson's 100% going to be in this. There's no chance.
Jack Black. I can see Jack Black being in this movie.
I'd love that actually. Get her a thick boy some action.
Like, what do they do with the aliens? Is it going to be the same aliens again? You kind of have to, because if it's not the Monstars, people are going to be really pissed. Because you have to do the thing with this movie, because this is a people-pleasing movie. Like, this is not, you know, this is not reimagined. This is not like The Dark Knight. That was a reimagining, or Batman, that was a reimagining of a very popular, like, pop culture thing, but done so for the sake of being a very good film. This is not going to be that. This is just another Space Jam movie to make people happy.
How many references do you, the Monstars, comparing the Monstars to the Warriors, do you think they're going to be? I'll set that right now at like five. Like five jokes comparing them to the Warriors.
The pressure's also on for the soundtrack as well.
Yeah, that's true.
More so than anything. You're right. Yep.
Slob on my knob, like corn on the cup.
What was it?
Oh, it was La Di Da Di Da, slob on my knob. That was it.
La Di Da Di Da, slob on my knob.
What Looney Tunes would you like to see get more play in this movie? Because when we rewatched it, really not many get much play. Like it's, I mean, it really focuses just on Daffy, Bugs, Lola, and I guess Taz a little bit, but it's mainly those three.
I just wanted to make sure there's no Fog. Yeah, no Pepe and no Foghorn Leghorn, because Foghorn Leghorn is 100% racist. I think he needs to go forever. I don't want to see him anymore.
So Space Jam 2, I don't know. I mean, I'll be excited to see it for sure, but I just know the conversation around this movie will be super fucking annoying. And it already was. It already was when that first picture came out that teased who was in it, who was directing, who was producing, people freaking out. Well, I'm sure we've talked about who we think is going to be in it, like NBA player-wise. We'll talk about it on a future episode with Coley and Tyler, but like an extended, longer discussion. We don't need to do that right now. All right, before we get into questions, how about this? This episode brought to you by Stitch Fix, online personal styling service. Finds and delivers clothes, shoes, accessories that fit your body, your style, most importantly, at least to us, your budget, because we're big-time budget boys. Go to stitchfix.com/lights and tell them your sizes, what styles you like, how much you want to spend. I mean, there are so many brands, from Nike to Banana Republic clothing. I mean, just anything. It's all in here. They'll handpick 5 items for you. You try them on, you only pay for what you want, and then you return the rest. Shipping and exchanges, always free, only a $20 styling fee. But get started now at stitchfix.com/lights, and you'll get an extra 25% off when you keep all 5 items in your box. And there's a high chance you're going to like all 5 of them. That's stitchfix.com/lights to get started today. stitchfix.com/lights.
I had to contribute there, so I just wanted to do the stitchfix.com/lights thing, because I think it's important people know it's stitchfix.com/lights. And if I didn't say stitchfix.com/lights, I'm not sure.
Wait, sorry. My headphone cut out. What did you say?
I said stitchfix.com/lights. Did you hear that? Can you repeat it back to me? Just to make sure.
Okay, so it was stitchlights.com.
Yeah, that's close enough.
Okay.
Ah, good. True, you can go on there and order up some more shorts before it gets cold where you live.
In Hoboken.
Right here. Beautiful Hoboken. I'm just like, I look around and I'm just seeing so much stuff that is just like only in Hoboken, you know?
What's your favorite restaurant in Hoboken?
Dean Blandino's or whatever that guy's name is.
Probably Bill's. Just down the corner, old joint owned by Bill.
Joey Sirloin.
Joey Sirloin sushi shop.
Ugh. So that's a funny reference. The Joey Sirloin comment's a funny reference because right now the audience has not heard our Outback Steakhouse segment yet. we definitely didn't record this after the pod. Hey, that's just a little hint. You're gonna get a lot of Outback Steakhouse talk later in this episode.
And Stitch Fix isn't, they're not like N64 games either. They you know.
All right. I guess we'll just move on to the audience questions, which definitely came after we recorded this. What is one movie that you would like to take back in time and show to people in the 1950s? So back in, or just don't, I'm not even going to say 50s. Pick a movie that you would like to take all the way back in time to a certain era and show people.
Doctor Strange. It just visually, I think, would fuck people up really bad. Like a lot of those scenes, like where they have like the warp, like Inception would be the same difference for this for me, or like Interstellar. Anything with like really insane lifelike visual effects would be cool to do.
Imagine if you showed people back in like the 20s, 30s Inception. Would their minds fucking melt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be crazy. It'd be fucking insane. They wouldn't know
what is this ghost magic? They'd fucking burn the streets.
They'd burn us. Whoever showed it to him. Whoever showed it to him, he burned alive.
I'd say,
are you in jail?
Inception, or even any of the comic book movies of comic book characters that had already been created.
Ooh, yeah.
Superman was still around. Like, I feel like if you show them a Superman movie, they'd be like, oh, wow, this is really neat. Let's turn it on its head. Maybe not on its head. What movies would you show that depict like historical events that happened between 1950s and now that would like people would be like, wait, what the fuck? That happens in the future? Like you could show them JFK or something like that. And they'd be like, whoa, this stuff actually happens. Like this is crazy. Or the moon landing, movie.
What if you showed them like Days of Futures Past or something and just told them that actually happens? Like mutants are real and they get exposed in your timeline.
Or you just go to when they're announcing the Frost Nixon interviews and you just drop the movie Frost Nixon. People are like, what the fuck? Or you go blow up the spot of the Washington Post and you just drop the movie The Post and just like see how they react. Like what happens? It's like we just exposed you.
You show them Rideshare and they're just like, damn, this shit suck ass. I don't even get the references, but this movie sucks.
Or what if you went back in time and you took one of the worst movies you've ever seen, or like the Emoji Movie, and you dropped it right in the lap of like someone making like one of the first like actual color picture feature films, or like what do they do? Do they change course?
It would have beat Gone with the Wind for sure. It would have been the highest rated movie of all time, highest grossing movie of all time. This is amazing. Look at all the vibrant colors in this Emoji Movie. What is Pandora? I don't exactly know what that is yet, but it's like Back to the Future. But your kids will love it.
It's like Abernathy Armistead, like writer for the New York like Gazette, is just like, you empathize with the struggles of Mel Meh, the parent running through the tribulations of their child.
Can the Spotify app be a thing in the future?
Yeah.
What is this? I mean,
oh, man.
Like we're thinking too strong about Inception too. Most things you would take back in time would melt people's brains. Like I don't even think it requires the level of Inception or Doctor Strange to do that. Like no matter what you bring back.
What if you showed them like The Last Jedi or something to somebody who just got out of like A New Hope in the 70s?
I think something like The Jungle Book would melt people's minds. In a big way.
I'm trying to think of something that had. What did we see recently that we thought had really good CGI? Winnie the Pooh. So that has some old standing. So if you showed Winnie the Pooh to them and they saw those CGI, they might just think it's real.
So you mean, Trill, like freak people out into thinking that in this day and age, animals and like dolls can now speak?
Yeah. Maybe it would be like, you know how PlayStation games look super realistic at the time because you've never seen anything better. If you miss out on all that progression of CGI and just see like a 2015 CGI talking animal movie, are you going to think that the animals are really talking? Or is that, I don't know if uncanny valley is the right word because that normally applies to humans and robotics or whatever. Or are you going to immediately think something's kind of off and it looks a little fake?
Yeah, that is an interesting angle. Yeah, that's a good question. Again, I like that question. Get our brains thinking. Somebody asked us just for Trill. I'm not offended. I just think Ken Jack and I can also answer it. But they want to know where the N64 Classic is now that the PlayStation Classic is out. And what games would you want on the N64 Classic?
See, I have a different take on the I love the N64 at the time, but it's weird because I feel like N64 games have aged a lot more poorly than some SNES and NES games have just because they were too overly ambitious with like 3D and things like that. But if I did want to see things on like the N64 Classic, I mean, obviously GoldenEye, I'd want to try to play that again. Mario,
Perfect
Mario Dark. Kart, Diddy Kong. I like Diddy Kong Racing, Perfect Dark. But the problem is like I would rather play right now. I'd rather play a side scrolling Super Mario 3 for the NES than play GoldenEye. I just think that'd be more fun.
Yeah,
going back and playing GoldenEye sucks, but I would happily play a side-scrolling Mario game. That still holds up.
And you feel the same way about the PlayStation Classic too?
I feel even worse about the PlayStation Classic because, they got Final Fantasy VII, But like all the PlayStation games I really loved were third party games from like Konami. Like I'm thinking like Metal Gear Solid. And I don't think they're going to be able to get the rights to those games. So you're going to end up with games like Battle Arena Toshin Den, which was like an original PlayStation fighting game. And it just sucked ass. Even Tekken 3's on there. And Tekken 3, there's no way that's remotely fun to play anymore.
You know what game I would want to play on PlayStation Classic is Toy Story 2 Buzz Lightyear to the Rescue, which was an awesome game. It was just like a very basic adventure game, and it was so much fun. I think I probably played it more than any other game I had on PS1, other than maybe the original Medal of Honor, which I think even like my parents played that a little bit. And that was a fun one, and I love Medal of Honor Frontline. I don't know if you guys ever played that on PS2. That was a really fun game.
I like these classic things, but I think I'm with you, Tro. I think something has to be super fucking old for me to have any interest in it, but I'm still going to gravitate back to like the new stuff anyway. The new stuff is just so good. Like, I get the nostalgia factor, and I know, like, you know, a drunk N64, a drunk Mario Kart, or like, you know, when you got some buddies over playing it, but it just doesn't. It's one of those things, every time I fire up the N64, I'm bored after 15 minutes. I'm like, oh, like Ken Griffey Slugfest? Fuck yeah. And then you play it in, and you're like, wow, this is not good anymore. I'd want to go play the show now. It's, you know, just that's what it always is for me.
Yeah. And the NES and SNES games had their own lane. They are, you know, 2D games that were side scrollers, and they worked within those limitations. But like N64 tried 3D, and we're still doing 3D games, but we do 3D games so well, like the new Tomb Raider that just came out, or Spider-Man. It's like, I don't know why I'd want to play. This might be sacrilegious for some. I don't know why I'd want to play Mario 64 now at all when I can just go play Super Mario Odyssey. Like, maybe some people don't have the option to do that, but I see it as like one of those things that, and the price point's right. If it's $50 and it's like a good time waster or novelty to go boot it up for a bit. And this was me with the Super NES Classic. I played it for a day and then I'm just like, shit, like I'm just kind of wasting my time because I love these games as a kid, but now they're just really not all that fun. There's no depth to them. And it's not even a graphics thing. It's just like a game. It's not fun. It's like playing an iPhone game. Some instances.
I mean, Super Mario. Think about Mario and 64 is like in the castle. Like there's some doors you just, you know, can't go into, or rooms you can't go in. And then you fire up Spider-Man and you can jump from where Ken, Jack and I are right now in the city in like 10 seconds and just go around this expansive universe where these old blocky games are just, they were fun at the time. They're fucking amazing. But now it's
So I get, you know, nostalgia's huge and, you know, people like these. And part of it is they're collectibles too. It's like, it's fun to get a little mini N64 and display it. But like from a gameplay perspective, I don't know. The question's hard. It's like, what games would you like to play on the N64? And I don't think I'd play any for longer than 5 minutes. Like not even GoldenEye, which was my favorite game for the N64, I think. Because I've gone back and I played GoldenEye and it's not fun anymore. It sucks. It's a bad game by today's standards. It was a great game at the time. But something like Super Mario 3 still is a great game.
Drag 'em.
Like Tetris. But Tetris still is fun. It's its own thing. But yeah, whatever. PlayStation is going to be worse though, because you don't have that Nintendo nostalgia. Part of that nostalgia is tied into the characters. You don't get that if you like all you can do is play as Eddie Gordo from Tekken. It's like, this is not what I came for.
Well, somebody said they're like, just release the like PS3 classic or Xbox 360 classic and give me the NCAA football game already, which that changes things for me. Now that I would take that in a heartbeat. All right, we'll do two.
Just stop being greedy and just release the bundle of games on the Xbox store or the PlayStation store. Like, I get, from a business perspective, this makes more sense and is a good way to like control the demand, I guess. And people are crying for these old games and they're like, well, we don't know how to price them really, but if we put them in the $60 console, I guess, then that seems pretty fair. I
threw away a lot of old games, but the one I did keep is NCAA football for if they ever make it backwards compatible. But I know that's about a 0% chance. We'll do two more here. What sport has the worst representation in movies? What sport is shown off the worst in any movies in terms of like how they show the actual sport being played on screen? We can also say best as well.
That's soccer, right?
You think?
I, I just haven't seen many soccer movies. I think from a representation
standpoint,
they don't really exist, and at least in the American film market, there's no demand for them. So I get that.
Big four
American sports. It had to be basketball, right?
Yeah. You didn't see Thunderstruck? We were just talking about it, dude. It's a great movie.
But I feel like basketball scenes in movies are, they seem small. It's like, you remember watching the Fresh Prince basketball scenes, and they're in this gym that was 1/8 the size of a basketball court?
Yeah. That's very true. What about the High School Musical basketball scene?
There you go. Yeah.
I feel like football is easier because you can hide so much too, because there's so many players and you can make it like, I feel like, I don't know if that makes any sense, but basketball, there's less people on the court and you have to pay attention to everything. Or I feel like you can like hide some, get a little movie magic in football and make it a little more believable.
And you can body double really easily in football.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good point. Basketball, you can't. I think baseball's been done pretty well. Baseball's pretty simple. It's so like, it's like everything is like so in pieces of like what happens, like one thing to the next, where, you know, football, depending on who you're looking at, there's a mosh of different things. I think basketball is a pretty good pick. Hockey's tough too, though. Miracle, they did a great job with Miracle.
Yeah. Most hockey movies I think are pretty good. Like the top five for hockey movies are all great. Miracle is one of the best sports movies ever made. And like, I think that alone brings them in the representation market or whatever, like way up top. So I think worldwide it has to be soccer, but I think for this purposes in North American sports, it would be basketball.
Yeah, I think Jeff, I forget who said it. It's a good point. If you think about baseball and football, like action is condensed into like discrete definable plays, like play in a stoppage. So, you know, baseball, pitch is thrown, something happens to it, and either the ball's in play or it's not, and then it repeats. Football is, you know, a play and the play ends, but hockey just keeps going for the most part until someone scores or something else happens. And basketball is somewhat the same way, until someone fouls. So I think that's tough. I think it's tough to capture the intensity and the fast pacedness of both of those.
Yeah. And like the thing with basketball too, it's just what if a couple possessions in a row where they don't score? You know, you can't really get that expansive in that. Like, who's going to stick around for, like, you know, a shot clock violation and then a play with, like, two fouls on it? And then it's, like, it's not as easy, I think. So it's a good point.
Also, one more thing on basketball is, in general, I mean, football is its own thing. I can't comment there. But I feel like basketball, if you watch even 30 seconds of anyone playing basketball, you can get a really good gauge on how generally athletic they are.
Yeah.
So for like an actor to step in and be in a basketball movie, it's like, it's tough. Like White Men Can't Jump, I think, got lucky because I think both Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes were like pretty decent. I think Woody was better than Wesley was, but you had to get creative with the cuts there. Baseball, you can hide that. Football, you can do the body double thing. So I don't know.
What was the one toy, video game, trading card, anything that you wanted as a kid but you were never allowed to have? The one thing you always wanted, just one thing. I feel like both people could probably pick many things, but just one thing that you always wanted, you just never got it.
A Power Wheel.
You never got a Power Wheel?
Never had a Power Wheel. Always wanted one. Although there's a pretty slim window of when you're small enough to ride a Power Wheel and then you grow out of it. So I don't know. Did you have a Power Wheel?
I did not have a Power Wheel.
I always wanted one. I wanted the Bigfoot Power Wheel with the KC lights on the front.
When I was in my late teens, I wanted Pogs a lot.
No, you didn't. Fuck you.
No, not using the same spelling, my man. Got him.
I don't know what mine is, and like I feel like it should come right to my head, but I was pretty late to get an N64. I will say that I got an N64 very late in the game.
Me too.
Like by the time I got it, it just like nobody fucking cared anymore.
Yeah, the N65 was already out.
Nice. Yeah, classic. Yeah.
69. 420.
So I was trying to make it. I was trying to make a joke out of that.
Were you?
The N69. No, I was just thinking of like the N69 controller, where like it has like one prong on the bottom and then one prong up top or something like that.
Just the most like unfun game controller of all time.
You're holding it like a Bop-It, basically.
And it's such like a commodity that like everyone pretends to like it, even though it sucks ass.
The N64 controller?
No, the N69.
Oh, well, I think the N64 controller sucks ass too.
Did you ever see people that play it use it the weird way? Like, yeah, they don't. Yeah, when people grip it the controller the wrong way, that freaks me the fuck out.
How do they grip it?
Like a regular controller. Exactly. Yeah.
They use the outside grips and then they extend their thumb to use the control
like,
stick.
Like, wouldn't? How did that even? I mean, I can't even imagine how that even works.
It freaks me out.
It works, dude. I think a lot of those people. There were a lot of people like that when the N64 first came out because there wasn't a tutorial video we could watch to explain how to grip it. But I think everyone slowly figured it out because then you miss out on that sweet, sweet index finger trigger button, the Z button or whatever it was.
I'm really fucking blanking.
I forgot about the Z button. Did you ever have a rumble pack for yours?
Yeah, of course.
I did not.
That's a pretty cool innovation. The rumble pack sucked. Because, you know, they required batteries and they weighted the controller down. But it's a lasting innovation by Nintendo. There's rumble features in every controller being made these days still. And the stick too, the stick on the controller. That was not a new concept because those had been in arcades, but to put that on a console controller. I'm thinking maybe somebody did that first. I can't remember. Somebody probably did that first though.
I had a third-party rumble pack, I believe. Like my rumble pack was third-party. I fucking love my rumble pack. I did like my N64. I just got it very late in the game, so I wasn't hip or cool.
Did you have an expansion pack? Because you had to play Rogue Squadron, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you had an expansion pack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved Rogue Squadron.
I'm trying to think. Mine might be like a Razor scooter as like my actual thing. I don't think I ever ended up getting a Razor. And I got a bike or something instead, and just not the same feeling.
No, bikes are way cooler, right?
Personally, I like bikes better now than Razor scooters, regardless of the fact that some businessmen in New York City who are full grown-ass men think it's cool to ride around on scooters in their fucking full-ass suits. That's one of the most outrageous things about living here, is the sheer volume of people who still do that. Like, I don't get it. Like, my brain can't process it.
Are they about to have the bird scooters?
Well, those are going to be here not that long from now, I believe. Oh. I've seen a couple people on some sort of like prototype, like not prototype, like test market for those scooters. I know some city, I think Austin has them. I'm not sure. My buddies back home have them, or maybe they just own fucking electric scooters and I need to make fun of them now. But I know I saw someone in a suit for the first time the other day doing it. And you're right, Kendrick. It really fucking made me mad. And it shouldn't, because I shouldn't give a shit what this man is doing. But it really bothered me that he was on this tiny scooter with his briefcase in his full suit, just zipping up 8th Avenue. It just really made me upset.
Exactly. It makes me viscerally mad. And like nothing that doesn't affect my life whatsoever should make me that mad. And it does. It is like, what the fuck are you doing? Just get a city bike or something. Jesus.
I want to be on the recovery team for those bird scooters, because I mean there has to be a, like vans that come and collect them and charge them, right? Like replace them where they're supposed to be. You get the GPS coordinates and it's fucking in the middle of a lake and you're like, oh god.
why are you bringing out the blue light for this one, Marty? I have bad news. He fucked the scooter.
The last thing I think that I can think of that relates to this whole video game talk we've had is GameCube. Did you guys have a GameCube?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I did.
I had a GameCube before I had an Xbox 360. I cornered the GameCube market. You didn't like it?
I didn't like it. It didn't have the games I wanted to play at the time.
Well, I got it really late. I got Xbox first and was way more of an Xbox person.
Yeah, I mean, it had the new Mario Kart, like the Double Dash Mario Kart, which was pretty cool. The controller was very bizarre. It had that like C stick thing in the bottom right.
Yeah,
it had Mario Kart. It had a really shitty Kobe Bryant basketball game too. It had Luigi's Mansion as well. It was Luigi's Mansion and Metroid. Yeah, I think Luigi's Mansion and Metroid is what like the launch was.
RIP in peace, Luigi. We can't forget our poor prince got fucking dragged to the depths of hell by death himself.
Yeah, he is. He did get murdered. That's right. That's right. And GameCube had those little mini discs too. Very small discs.
That was annoying, to be honest.
Yeah, you could not pirate those.
I think the only game I played on that was Sonic vs. Shadow or something, one of those Sonic games.
I remember GameCube having one of the worst launch game lineups.
What was it?
The U.S. launch, it was All-Star Baseball 2002, Batman game, Crazy Taxi, Dave Mira Freestyle BMX, Tarzan game, Luigi's Mansion, Madden 2002, NFL 02, Star Wars Rogue Squadron 2, Super Monkey Ball, Tony Hawk 3,
right,
Waverus, Blue Storm.
Super Monkey Ball rules.
Yeah, but think about a Nintendo console being launched without a real Mario or Zelda game.
None of those are exclusives, bananas. Right? I think everything you just named is cross-console.
Yeah, so that's why I never really got into the GameCube, because nothing that came out when the GameCube first came out was really good. I never had a Wii or a Wii U, so it soured me on Nintendo for a bit.
Yeah, I played Madden 2002 on GameCube. And then it was NBA Courtside with Kobe Bryant. That was the game I played. Do you remember the NFL game for Xbox when the first Xbox launched with Peyton Manning on the cover?
The Peyton Manning cover game. What was it called?
NFL Fever.
NFL Fever.
Oh, God.
NFL Fever only on Xbox. Yeah.
Man.
I'm going to have to watch. I may watch NFL Fever videos later.
Peyton Manning on the cover.
You ever play NFL Blitz the League? Or whatever it was, the one where you could like pay prostitutes to go to your opposing team's hotel.
Yes.
That was a good game. Not gonna lie, I enjoyed it. As a
teenager, I think was Bill Romanowski on the cover of that?
Yeah, it was him and somebody else. Fuck,
it was Lawrence Taylor.
Was he really? Oh god, that's perfect.
Very marketable figure, Lawrence Taylor.
Bill Romanowski was having a normal
Romo life. Too. Like
true,
Romo and LT. True. Yeah, it's just. Not a great lineup.
Well, then, to close this out, there was another game that came out that had a controversial thing in it, and it was after EA Sports bought the license for the NFL, NFL 2K, which 2K5 was, like, amazing, they lost it, and they came out with them, like, Legends game where you can make your own teams, and O.J. Simpson was a character.
The NFL 2K series... The original NFL 2K for the Dreamcast was so much fucking fun. Randy Moss was on the cover, I believe, and the Vikings were unstoppable with Culpepper and Moss.
A good team.
Titans were really good too. I wish the competition would come back. I really want a fun and immersive football game.
Yo, Madden fucking stinks. Stinks.
It's not fun, dude. It's just not fun. I don't think it's bad. It's just not fun.
I think that's why, Kendrick, you mentioned, I think that's why the soccer games are both good, because there are two different types of soccer games. Now, one is much more popular in the U.S., but the Pro Evolution Soccer does stuff and FIFA does stuff. And they compete and they try to grab rights. And that's why, like, FIFA got the Champions League back in their game. And, you know what, they try to do different things. It's not always perfect, but it just makes a better game. Where Madden can just coast, because, you know what, if you don't buy Madden, guess what? You're not playing for a football game. So they can get away with that, which I guess that's why people are hoping that the new NBA Live is like, which, by the way, that's what we were playing the other day. We were not playing 2K. We were playing the actual version of NBA Live, which is apparently a game now. But maybe that'll push NBA 2K.
Can you say?
We're not sponsored. It was fine, I guess. But I guess people don't like 2K. You play the new 2K, Trill?
Well, I think people like the basketball aspect of 2K, but I don't think people like the fact that you can't do anything in that game without spending V-Bucks or whatever they're called.
Yeah, fuck V-Bucks. Fuck microtransactions in general for mostly corporatizing and ruining the ingenuity of most games.
I guess there's some that makes sense, but I would generally agree. I would generally agree on that. I also don't like either. You know what I think ruins sports games? This could be a very unpopular opinion. The ultimate team modes with the fucking cards and trading cards and shit. I've never played any of that. Too.
Well, that's microtransactions basically.
Okay, so I guess that's
you have to buy the packs.
Okay, that's a good point. You raise a very good point, which just reinforces what Ken Jack said. But I think the overarching idea of that mode, I think, has hurt the development of like the rest of the shit in football. Because the reason people like that mode is because like you can build your own team. It doesn't need the advancements of like, well, I think we play. And you guys are more like, you guys like storylines in games to begin with, right? Campaign modes.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So I don't know. I think like, fuck that. That was a novelty of N64, though. You put the cartridge in, there were no load screens, and you just played the game. You know, it was, the load screen was like a millisecond. So
do you know what N64 game I actually would want and would play on an N64 classic is the WCW Revenge game, or yeah. WCW versus NWO, and then WCW Revenge. Those games were awesome.
Those early wrestling games are so much fun, and I didn't even play them like a ton, but I just remember, I think one of my friends was really into wrestling, and he had like all of them, and I remember playing them and just being like, this shit fucking it rules, and actually wanted to get into like the wrestling storylines and everything. Never did, but I mean, piqued my interest.
Oh, those, the like the N64 ones were great, because it was based off of a Japanese wrestling game, so they used that engine, and the engine was just perfect. And the WWF game sucked at the time because they all, they just weren't very good. And they released one called WWF Attitude, I think, in 98, which was okay. It was like the first one that like really was trying to compete with those games, but it wasn't the same.
Look that up.
All right. Anything else before we wrap this up?
Should we talk about the other Joker news?
Oh, fuck it. I'm over it. Talk about it later.
What's the other Joker news? Now I want to know.
It was just the guys. I was gonna make a joke out of it because it was really fucking stupid, but now I just don't have the energy anymore. They were talking about like what the movie's gonna be like because the guys did This Is Us, but they also did Bad Santa, and just
it's gonna be bad.
You're too twisted, Mr. J. You need to stop being so twisted.
All right. Anything else? Last week of September for us.
September.
I think we're good.
September. I like crazy flavors of licorice. I'm just gonna come out and say it. I like green apple licorice. I like watermelon licorice. I like root beer licorice. I like them all.
Wacky. You're a wacky dude.
I like to go to Sprouts and get all their crazy licorice flavors. So good.
Do you think the Browns beat Oakland?
They better.
They're fucking, Oakland's going down. They're in a bad way right now. 0-3. Man, John,
I said this the other day at work to somebody. It has to suck ass watching football if you're a Raiders fan and your team is 0-3 and fucking John Gruden is in every other commercial making money off some other like Firestone tires. Like that has to, I mean, I would be livid knowing that his salary, which it's not that the money they pay him goes towards the cap, is the fact that their cash flow as an organization was running low is part of the reason why they couldn't afford Khalil Mack. The fact that John Gruden is a big part of that would drive me insane.
And it's funny too, because like he always says whenever the media ask him, like, hey, Khalil Mack is outpacing your entire defense as a single human being. What do you have to say about that? And he's like, oh man, you know, he just didn't want to be here. He just didn't want to be here. And we need players that want to be here. And it's like, or maybe it's just because you had a $100 million contract to do what you're doing right now, which is 0-3. And I'm just curious how long they let that ride.
I think he's a fall guy. He's just a well-paid fall guy for making everybody in Oakland hate the Raiders. So when they move the team to Las Vegas, it is less of a an outrage when it actually happens, or a bite. Yeah,
maybe that was what Mike McCoy was supposed to do. You did a good job.
I just I'd be so mad. I would be absolutely fucking livid, because the hiring of John Gruden was cool at the time. And they actually, his face is on a billboard in front of the site where they're building the stadium in Vegas. He's a big John Gruden face.
You know what's funny? I was at a Penn Station yesterday, and there's still a giant billboard right outside Penn Station being like, yeah, hashtag LeBron to New York City. And just a big picture, big, huge billboard of LeBron saying to come to New York City. Like, this was months ago. Like, how much time did they pay for this ad? Wait.
So were you at Penn Station or at a Penn Station?
What? I was at Penn Station, like the location outside of it. It was on a billboard on a building outside Penn Station.
Because in my mind, I thought you went to a Penn Station Subway store and they just had a big billboard outside of it.
Oh, God, no. You went to Subway a few days ago, Jeff. You disobeyed every tenant you've established on this show about hating Subway and hating their smell and everything. And I
You and I did that once, and then we tweeted pictures of it the day
as a cash grab. And plus, I legitimately kind of like Subway.
Oh, no, I went and I reckon. Oh, I have no shame in saying that I went there. And actually, you know what I got yesterday?
What?
Sweet onion chicken teriyaki.
No, you got the fucking Australian strip steak.
I got the Ayers Rock New York strip.
Hell yeah.
And it was fucking the Alice Spring chicken.
What do they call coconut shrimp again? What was their terminology for it?
Fuck, I don't know, because I always just say coconut shrimp. Hold on. Outback coconut shrimp.
The Queensland coconut shrimp. Like, it's just something, and they just throw an Australian qualifier on it.
I learned that there's
post coconut shrimp.
I learned there's a group of conspiracy theorists who think Australia doesn't exist, and that it's a...
Yeah. Flat earthers.
So like Outback Steakhouse by extension is like a psyop into making us believe that Australia is a place.
Red pilling, dude.
Oh man, it was delicious. I tweeted pictures of the menu: Victoria's Filet, Ayers Rock, Melbourne Porterhouse. Some of them don't have. They just call the ribeye. Like the
Melbourne Porterhouse.
You can really see which meats they don't respect because they don't name some of them.
What about it makes it Australian? Like, I wish they would be like, yeah, we use Australian spices or something. Or like, I don't know what that would even entail, but like, they should do something that actually qualifies it to name it something Australian. But they don't. They just fucking throw a name in front of it.
Do you know what's on the Alice Springs chicken?
No, what's on it?
Cheese.
Trill, you know?
Isn't it like pepper jack cheese topped? Chicken.
It's
chicken top cheese.
It's chicken with mushrooms, bacon, and cheese.
Actually sounds pretty awesome.
Then there's a salmon dish with bacon on it.
Back in Alice Springs.
Wait, is that your Aussie accent?
Yeah, I went for it.
Do that again.
I'm not gonna do that again, my friend. That is not happening.
Do like an Australian James Corden impersonation.
Oh, I can barely even do a James Corden impersonation. The only thing I can say is
the best James Corden impersonation. Say, hello, I'm James Corden.
Yeah, that but the reason I had to start with hello, I'm James Corden is to like get into the like I couldn't go straight into a James Corden impersonation without doing that. I tried to do
that's your pre-cum.
No, it is nothing like that.
I didn't do any fucking ad reads.
Oh God.
We'll get to that in a second. Let's finish this. I actually have to do the same exact thing. I'll just do the ad reads on my own. I have to do the same exact thing for Jay Leno. I can't go right into Jay Leno. I have to do the, I gotta like do like a little, like you gotta get like the voice warmed up. So I like, that's why Trill always starts with the hello, I'm James Corden.
A pre-cum. It's like your foreplay to the song or to the accent. I get it.
How are you?
You're thinking about it too hard. No pun intended. All right, you just need to like just let it flow. The analogy in this particular case.
Okay, I've made peace with it. What's your guys' favorite sporting goods store?
Dick's.
It's the only one that really Academy and Dick's are the only two that exist nowadays.
What was the other one that got shut
Sports
down?
Sports Authority.
Yeah, there used to be a huge one right near my house, and just fucking the
Broncos.
Shut down.
Broncos Stadium used to be called Sports Authority Field at Mile High Stadium or something like that.
That's right.
I miss MC Sports. Did you guys ever go to an MC Sports?
No.
Real smaller sporting goods stores. I miss that old fashioned sporting goods store smell. It just smelled like the bike tires.
Yeah. I remember going to like the going out of business sale for Sports Authority, and it just stunk. Like there was no good deals. You would think if they're going out of business, they really want to move that inventory or something, but it was just trash deals. Like I think the best they had was 25% off like tennis balls. The fuck am I going to do with that?
There was a sporting goods store called Galleons that used to exist in Indiana and maybe outside of Indiana, but they got bought by Dick's. Galleons was pretty good.
We literally just talked about this, right? You talked about Galleons not that long ago.
Probably. I love sporting goods stores, dude. I love it.
I love
going in them.
All right. Well, Trill, if you're not going to do your Australian accent, I guess we'll let it slide. But if you're not going to do it, you have to promise that the next time you're at Outback, you order the Sweet Chuco Mine sandwich, grilled chicken with Swiss cheese, bacon, lettuce, tomato, and honey mustard sauce.
That sounds like a waste of an Outback experience.
All of their items are either steaks or they have a form of bacon and cheese on them. That's basically what Outback is.
What do they call items that already have like a nation qualifier on it? Like, what do they call French fries? Like, what could you say to it?
Aussie fries.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. They just take out the French. It's like, it's Melbourne onion soup today on the menu.
Let's see. The highest calorie count on this page I'm looking at is the chicken tender platter. Crispy white meat tenders served with, which they actually call it something else in the kids' menu, I think. Crispy white meat tender served with the choice of honey mustard or buffalo sauce, Aussie fries, 1,490 calories.
That is too many.
So, what's the kids' meal? Because it's the Joey sirloin on the kids' meal, the small steak.
Joey's tenders. It sounds like the worst mob member ever.
It's me, Joey sirloin. Got nothing else.
It's called the Joey menu. That's their kids' menu. They don't
perfect.
Which I mean, I respect going full on brand for them. I hope they never dip away from it. They have the grilled cheese aroo. Makes sense. The boomerang cheeseburger, macaroo and cheese, the Joey sirloin, grilled chicken on the Barbie, junior ribs, and then they just gave up chicken fingers.
I'm gonna make that my new mashup brand, boomerang. It's gonna be Aang from Avatar, and it's gonna be boomer version of Aang. We have to defeat the Fire Nation, and also kneeling for the anthem is good. I mean bad. That's my new mashup brand. I'm making it today.
Have we ever talked about Twin Peaks on the podcast?
That's a whole fucking different episode there for Twin Peaks, man.
Maybe like briefly, but not like
what a name, what a logo, what a I don't know.
It's been, you I thought you meant the show. I thought you meant the
show. No, the restaurant, the restaurant, as they call that sector of the industry.
I've never had that. I'm sorry.
It's a Hooters type restaurant that has a mountain theme. So all the servers wear flannel shirts that are revealing. That's their that's their whole hook.
And sounds really cool.
Their other hook is that they keep their beer super cold, and then they have a temperature gauge above the bar that shows how cold their beer is.
Like the fucking Rocky's Turning Blue thing.
Yeah, it's just like beer is currently 32.
Yesterday I had a Coors Light for the first time in like 5 years. I forgot how fucking terrible that is. No offense, Coors. I don't want you to sponsor the pod. That's one man's opinion. I just, goddamn, do I hate
you don't
that
like beer. Coors Light? I like a good Coors Light.
It's like tastes so watered down. It tastes just not like beer to me.
Yeah, but all of those, I mean, Coors Light, Miller Light, Bud Light all have a very similar taste.
No,
but
I
don't want to rank them because I think that. Yeah, but I don't mind.
I think that it tastes like any of those given light beers, like top brand ones. It tastes like any of those that was like went stale, went rotten, and then they just recarbonated it. And like, that's
are you one of those guys that whenever Anheuser-Busch donates canned water to disaster relief efforts, you comment on the Facebook article and it's like, look like they just donated their beer.
I'll be honest. I don't think I've ever commented on a beer page, but
That's like my least favorite joke is like whenever someone has to get in like their beer snob opinion on like American light beers tasting like water. It's like that's not the point. The point is to drink a lot of it.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to drink like Raging Bitch, which is like 12%, because you feel like dog shit right after. No, that's another bad pun, but no, it's not the intent. You want to drink a lot of light beer.
We have a keg party coming up, and we're going to get the Dog's Tongue IPA for the keg party. We'll be playing Flip Cup, all that stuff, so, with IPA.
So this happened to me. I won this contest at a local bar where me and a friend each individually won a half keg. We combined it and got a full keg of like this really heavy IPA beer because we're assholes. And long story short, I woke up in a naked in my room in a puddle of my own puke, and like it was just regurgitated chicken wings, and didn't remember anything from the night before. And apparently I threw up in a restaurant and don't remember anything about it, but it was really stupid because I thought he could treat IPA like light beer.
Sounds like your darty turned into
a real nardy. Yeah.
Real.
Oh God. All right. Black Klansman review next week.
Finally,
which you would know if you listened. We've been saying After the Predator for a while, but I keep taking body blows on Reddit. People keep saying we're not actually going to do it. We are doing it next week. It was After the Predator. We're doing it. Get your hopes up because we will not let you down. But also see Simple Favor as well. So a little extra homework, but I highly recommend seeing that. Ken Jeck and I fucking loved it. All right, last thing. I'm going to do a little competition here. Neither of you know this, and this might not be fair to Trill, but I'm going to do it. Whoever has the closest guess to the calorie count of the loaded Bloomin' Onion gets to say have a good week at the box office.
Ooh.
I'm giving Ken Jeck a chance to really cuck Trill here. Okay?
Here we go.
We'll go one by one, and it's Price is Right rules.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I was asking.
Okay. Price is Right, so you can't go over. Closest without going over. Trill, since it's your bit, I'll let you guess first.
2830.
2830? Okay, Ken Jeck.
I feel like it's got to be more because it's just fried in grease.
Okay, and also a caveat: you can't give me a $1, Bob. You can't give me $1. That's
$2,900.
All right, you both went over, so Trill wins. It's 2,360 calories.
Damn,
that's all. Yeah. Damn, man, that's breakfast. That's Midwest breakfast. You get a baked potato just to make it a little healthier.
This might be a new segment. This might be a new thing where I have you guys guess calorie counts of chain restaurant items to just give Ken Jeck the chance to say have a good week at the box office.
I want to start a food truck that I just sell, like I just buy Bloomin' Onions from Outback and then I put like foie gras on them and just make them upscale.
Oh.
Just like real hipster, like, you know, ironic Bloomin' Onions.
Bloomin' Onions become soggy within about 5 minutes.
If that.
Okay, that's it. Black Klansman, A Simple Favor, PFT will be on to talk about it. We don't know what we're going to do next week, rankings-wise or segment-wise. We'll have fun. So for Ken Jeck and Trill, I'm Jeff Lowe. Folks, we will talk to you on Thursday.
Have a good week at the box office! Yeah! You can go your own way.